Sylvia and me.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Upper Deck, the national full-service virtual gym that has reinvented the at-home workout experience. Upper Deck has more than 30 strength and cardio classes a week. Named Best Fitness Club in the Gold Coast for 2020, Upper Deck brings the gym to you with live coaching and motivation. Upper Deck's unique classes are interactive. They have two coaches, one leading your workout and one keeping her eyes on you, providing feedback and encouragement in real time. For a free week of unlimited virtual classes with no strings attached, email info@upperdeckfitness.com and let Upper Deck know you're a Sylvia and Me listener. Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her.
Hi, my name is Michelle Moran. I'm the founder of Skinny Skincare Wear. Welcome to Sylvia and Me.
Michelle, thank you so much for being here today and being here. We are social distancing. I'm in Connecticut. You're in Maine, if I'm not mistaken.
We're outside of Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, there you go. See, I'm very good on geography. You said you were the founder of Skinny Skinwear. And it's
skincare wear. Yeah.
Skincare wear.
Thank you.
I'm very good.
Yes.
Again. And you became the pioneer in wearable skinwear, and you literally created the category. It's a multi-million dollar business with Walmart. But what I'd like to do is go back to something that a lot of people don't know. You were once, well, you're still a single mom, but you were once a single mom living in your car. Tell me how you managed to go from living in your car with your son, who now is 21 years old, who you've raised,
to being
the founder of Skinny's Skincare Wear.
So I am now 54 years old, and I have dyslexia. So I did not graduate college. I went to school for communications. I wanted to be a newscaster. And so not having the tools to or the education to go out and get a job, I actually founded a t-shirt company while I was living in my car because at that point I didn't have any money because I couldn't get a job because I didn't have at the time an education. So this is way before, you know, the anything that had to do with the connections with the phone or digital. And so what I did was I created a t-shirt company called Legends and Heroes, with children that are minorities in the, inner city of Boston. And we created t-shirts that would fund back, like books and help a library receive books from the sales of a push cart. So my son at the time was only 6 months old, and I would just couch surf, with my girlfriends. At their homes, and no one really knew that I had no money. But what I did was I worked towards trying to give back because I felt that a hole in my heart from not having an education, not finishing school, and wanted to help these kids in the inner city create a line of clothing, which we started t-shirts in Bedford, Massachusetts, and we would print all these great legends and heroes like Ty Cobb and Shoeless Joe Jackson and Satchel Paige and Jackie Robinson. We had all these images that we created with an artist, and we would sell it in a Legends and Heroes push cart. And we did enough money that I could give to the community in Mattapan and Roxbury. And the push cart was in an area in Faneuil Hall in Boston where a lot of the Red Sox would walk by it. Or the Yankees, when they were in town, would walk by it. And I received a call from managers from the teams, and they had asked if they could be in the push cart as a legend or a hero. And because I didn't have the funds to do a Major League Baseball license or the wherewithal to be able to understand how to do it, I ended up licensing two players, and that was Cal Ripken from Baltimore, who saw the push cart as well. And he gave me a license to do a 2131 t-shirt. And that was his extraordinary event where he broke the record. And we sold hundreds and hundreds of t-shirts. And I was able to give back money in Baltimore. And we did it with Mo Vaughn here, who wore Jackie Robinson's number 42. And we gave money back to literacy, to the Literacy Foundation here in Boston. And I started helping communities. And that's how I met Hank Aaron. And I was able to meet Richard Petty in North Carolina and Roger Staubach in Dallas.
Hang on. Let's go back a little. So all of this is happening and you're living in your car, raising your 6-month-old son.
Yes.
How did you, and you were hiding from your friends the fact that you had no money?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So for everyone who's listening, first of all, t-shirts, you're living in your car, you have no money, and yet you're able to raise funds for others to help others. That's amazing.
Right.
That really is amazing. How long did it take
like
you?
I think this was 20 years ago, Sylvia. When I really go back, and it was just an act of survival, but also of kindness, because I think when you are treated horribly, all you want to do is give as much as you can for somebody that you feel maybe has less than you. And that's how I was raised. I mean, having dyslexia, I had to fake my way through school and I became an athlete. And because I was an athlete and I played boys baseball and I was the first altar girl in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. And I was able to stand out and kind of hide behind the fact that I felt stupid, you know, and that was a coping mechanism as a child, where it's transformed as a young woman, where I learned in high school to kind of be as good as I could with my friends, but they didn't know I had a literacy issue. But I knew that if I could help people that needed food, or maybe we could buy books with t-shirts. And I think the biggest recommendation to everybody listening is that my biggest asset is I always ask for help. And I'm very transparent about what I'm doing constantly. So if I'm a single mother, I was able to say, can you help me with this push cart? How do you do a push cart like that? That's a beautiful push cart. You're an amazing salesperson. How do you do that? And I would actually learn from others. And that's what I think is a huge success story, is if you can ask for help and admire other people, they want to help you. And I think that's what brought me to such an extraordinary event by, you know, doing well, by doing good. And it allowed me to move from the push cart to doing Pink Ribbon, which is I wanted to provide a mammogram for people in economic need. So the same model, the t-shirt, but the pink ribbon was the taping in the t-shirt, because I knew that everybody would want to wear a really beautiful t-shirt, but they didn't want to have a pink ribbon and kind of explain that they had cancer. So I did these designs that allowed us to be able to sell them in the push cart, and portions went into mammogram mobile units all over the country. And then percentages went into giving back a mammogram. So Medicare usually funds the mobile unit, but they never funded the nurse that was inside. So this would pay for the nurse to give, it would subsidize the nurse that was giving the mammogram. And what I did was I felt that Dillard's, because it was a department store, but it was something that seemed a little easier to get into and position yourself as a brand with Pink Ribbon. I thought if I could ever do different colored polo shirts, because that's a t-shirt with a collar, mm-hmm. and then maybe perhaps, you know, have a website. And at the time I had a young girl help me with this that could help with the writing, because I obviously have literacy issues, so I don't do a lot of my writing. And I would ask for help, and that would grow the brand a little at a time, and we would position ourselves at a company like Dillard. So I went in and I saw Mr. Dillard. He wouldn't answer my call. And I went in on a Friday during lunch when the secretary was out, and I walked in without an appointment.
Thanks, balls.
And he was not happy. He wasn't happy, Sylvia.
Oh,
But I will tell you this. But I told him my what I really wanted to do and how I wanted to do it. And we launched the Pink Ribbon Collection at Dillard's in Arizona. We also did it in Texas. We did it in Arkansas. And it was small enough but big enough to do. And the mayor came and we did pink ribbon cuttings. And I had all the heroes that were men and women suffering from breast cancer. So to this day, that was the proudest moment that I had in growing the brand. And then we were asked by Ogilvy, which is a big, PR and advertising organization out of New York. They asked us to come up with another program with the Red Dress Collection. And at the time, it was Laura Bush's, her whole mission with Red Dress.
Yep.
And Macy's. And we came up with a whole program for them. We launched that. And then I ended up licensing the company. And we were doing a little bit of revenue, enough to license the company to TJX Inc., which is right near our offices here in outside of Boston, in Framingham, Massachusetts. And what I did was, in order to get to that gentleman, who was Ted English is his name, and he's now retired, I went to an event for literacy, and I ended up bidding on sitting next to him at the Patriots game to pitch him to see if I could license the business. And unfortunately, I won the bid. So I had $13,000 in the account, and I put it all up, and I won the opportunity to sit next to him and talk to him about having TJX do this, and having at the time Bob's Sporting Goods was doing it. Let's do a Legends and Heroes program. We'll do Clothes for a Cause, which is Pink Ribbon and Red Dress, and Give Back. And you are one of the largest retailers out there. This would be so fun. I'd be here. I could work with my son and, be a great mom and be at school all the time for him, because he's got Asperger. He ended up getting, something similar to myself. And so I went to the football game, and it was the snowiest day, and he couldn't make it. So I thought I was going to be bankrupt, and I was going to end up in my car again, because I had no money at this point. I bet it all. And he called me, and he asked me to come meet with him. It was the most extraordinary day, because it was New Year's Eve day, and I'll never forget it. And at the same time, my girlfriend who helped me with the Pink Ribbon Collection, she passed away from cancer. So I was talking to her in the car before I went in to give me courage and strength. And he said, "You are one crazy lady, Michelle. I didn't know you. I couldn't see you because it was dark in there when you were bidding. But you were bidding against all these big firms and men at Goldman Sachs to sit next to me. And I just want to hear your story. What is your story?" And I told him about my literacy. So it turned out that Ted English's child also had a form of autism similar to my son, and didn't know that I had literacy issues. And that's why he allowed me to license the company, because he felt like I was just a human being like everybody else, and that I was trying to do the right thing. And that's why I would tell everybody to just go for it and ask for help.
Okay.
That's how it worked with me.
I want to go back to something you just said. Did you just mention that your son has autism?
Yes.
Okay.
He's on the spectrum.
Okay. So on top of everything else, you had a 6-month old son that you were taking care of in your car on the autism spectrum, who is now 21 years old. Okay, so you pushed yourself just a little. Oh, yes. Okay.
And I think women do, Sylvia, we all do it. I mean, women really do it.
We do. We do wind up doing things that we never one, we could never imagine would happen in our lives. And two,
right.
You know, when they say you can't do it all, well, you can't do it all, but we wind up doing what we need to do. Sometimes
we do.
We don't do everything perfectly, but we manage somehow to prioritize and get things where they need to be.
That's true.
One of the things that I want to I want to go back on and mention a little bit more than you did, because you only mentioned it in like this little fleeting thing. You were mm-hmm. asked to partner with First Lady Barbara Bush's Red Dress nationwide campaign, which was defining yes. the new symbol of wellness and early detection for heart disease at Saks Fifth Avenue and Marshall Fields. And yes. portions of every sale were donated to provide cholesterol tests for women in need. And this right. was the catalyst for your interest in cosmetotextiles.
Cosmetotextiles.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's wellness. And as I was doing these other lines of business, and at the time, people weren't really linking to foundations. You know, companies were not doing that yet. Like you saw the Gap do it with, you know, the Red campaign with Bono. That happened later on. I was just a little company. No one really knew about me. I didn't have, you know, a PR firm. People would just talk about it a little bit here and there. But when I saw this and I would feel the fabrics and we would make the red dress, I always wanted people to talk about how they felt good and felt good in the skin that you're in. And so I kind of coined the phrase, you know, be more in your skin, because I thought that everybody is a hero deep down inside. And I just wanted to represent a line of clothing that actually took care of them instead of the line of clothing that gave back to something. So how can you bring a fabric into a genre and create your own genre? So there's underwear, activewear, shapewear, all these different types of programs or platforms with fabrications. So I thought if I could create skincare and then have it be a category, like a wearable skincare, and create skincare wear, where the buyer or the retailer had no idea what it meant, then it would allow me to get in. And if in fact I was able to sell this crazy idea of infusing retinol and shea butter and rosehip oil and apricot kernel oil into the fabric, where it's not wet, but it's woven in there. If the fabric is dyed and you're wearing blue jeans or capris that are black, it's still dyed in the grayish goods. Could we bring in a solution with a microencapsulation technology that allowed the infusement to really saturate that fiber of that fabric and sit within millions and millions and millions of fabrics, or fibers rather, and work on your skin as you're wearing it? And I thought this would really be such an amazing platform, because if there's caffeine and retinol and shea butter and apricot kernel oil, and we're putting a mask on our neck or on our face or on our eyes, can't we do it in fabric? And it turned out that we can. So I went and visited many doctors across the country that were doing, whether it's plastic surgery or orthopedic surgeons. I found that by getting the right fabrication, that bonding a synthetic with a microcapsule that we've all seen, we see it whether it's in a skincare product or in a smart fabric, if we merge the two inside that fabric, and if it's in the fabric where it's touching your skin, it could literally micromassage you as you're wearing it. And over the next few years, I ended up raising money on this platform and raised $13 million from angels, created the genre wearable skincare. We launched at Macy's. I then went to HSN. We did double-blind studies, and the consumer kept asking over and over and over again for compression. Or they would say, you know, my husband has diabetes, or my son has diabetes. Can you get me a fabric that feels good? We have to put apricot kernel oil or minerals on the skin before we put the sock on, or the sock is too hard to even get on. And it just dawned on me, instead of doing fashion, could we just do a sustainable product that would sit in a first aid platform next to like Johnson & Johnson and all those big companies, or in the diabetic area, that in combination of, or the convergence of skincare and fabric that actually helps on the medical side, that you could literally heal, soothe, and renew the skin as you're wearing that product.
Well,
and so over that time, the doctors were able to use it and do the studies, and we connected with an FDA-approved factory made in the United States in North Carolina, and now we sell millions of units a year.
Okay. So one of the things is that you realized how uncomfortable and painful a lot of these compression garments are, because you had to wear them after a surgery you had.
Right. I had surgery. I had liposuction, and I wanted to look, you know, beautiful and wonderful, and wanted to try it and see if it really worked. And it was because of the garment they put on me, which is nylon. It actually pulls all the moisturization out of your skin. I took it off too soon, and I still have a lump on my left leg because of the results, you know, the lack of the results of having that compression on. I couldn't wear it anymore. It was just too horrible on my skin, and it was very painful. And, you know, obviously you have scarring, and when they do any type of surgery like this, you know, it's more beneficial to have a fabrication that not just feels good, but also, you know, has the ability to soothe and renew the skin at the same time.
Okay.
And that's where I got the idea.
Okay. So through your clinical studies, you were able to show that there was an increase of like 19% in the skin's elasticity.
Right.
Yeah. I'm very good at this. Yep. And create real comfortable garments with women and their fast paced, you know, lifestyles, juggling families and managing careers. You created something that women could wear all day long and not be so uncomfortable and have their skin so dry and cracking it while wearing it.
Right.
So this vision came from something, again, from something that you had gone through, and that is, you know, wearing something that was so uncomfortable that you stopped wearing it prior to when you were supposed to.
Correct.
So how did you get this? I know you patented the formula. Tell us how did you get it into a multi-million dollar business with Walmart?
When I had dyslexia, well, I still have dyslexia, but I used to judge on panels for the organization called Student in Free Enterprise. It's SIFE, and it's about 4,000 colleges all over the world. And these kids would create something like a skincare product from Africa, from a leaf or from bark, or they would create a milk from goats, you know, in another country. So I would judge on a panel and help these children become entrepreneurs based on what they're learning, their, you know, their life achievements. And that's kind of why a lot of things happen, is the inventions happen based upon what people go through. And somebody that was on the panel was the co-chairman of Walmart. And he knew we were selling at Macy's. And he asked me if I would come in and introduce this invention to the pharmacist. And he felt as though this would be a resolution for all of the people out there that needed either a diabetic sock or compression. So it was right time, right place, and maybe God's will. Maybe he was giving me a gift. I don't know.
Well,
so that's how I got into Walmart.
Okay. So you and your brand have been featured in a number of publications, the Wall Street Journal, Forbes. You've been featured on Fox News, Today's Show, The Doctors, and you have a passion for creating unique brands that help women. Right now, during this pandemic, You're also Skinny's skincare wear is on the front lines of protecting the people who are protecting us, the frontline people dealing with the virus. Can you tell us exactly some of the things? I know that you you have a brand new line of FDA approved medical surgical air loop masks.
Yep, we have that. And also there's a wearable skincare fabric that's in the works right now, because there is retinol in it, that is a mask that's infused the same way it's infused in the other compression products. Because of the opportunity that I've received from so many people when I asked for help, we were able to give even to, you know, these people, these women that live in a car and to a shelter in Houston. We were featured on The View. And we would give back. We've given, I would say, 10 to 20,000 units a year to charity. And most of these people that we provide it for are doctors or nurses. And this is before this pandemic, because the product that we have helps to prevent blistering. And when you're on your feet all the time, and even government workers that are trying to do the electricity and helping with, you know, the hospitals, or the ambulance drivers, their feet get swollen, and 100 million people have diabetes. So we did provide the product to the government, and then we ended up getting coded for the military. So just, I guess, one begets the other, and it happens very quickly that you don't think about providing it to the military. It just comes to you because you are giving. And I guess doing well by doing good always comes back in the end in a positive light. I think that's what's happened. So now we're trying to stay afloat with this pandemic. Obviously, when you have, whether you have a very small business or a medium-sized company like we do, it can go very quickly too if people aren't shopping. And so you have to get creative in a way that to sustain the business, you have to come up with something else that will allow the people to get something that feels good on their skin or feels good wearing something that will, you know, protect them in the end, but also protects the employees of the company.
Well, so you went from living in a car with your 6-month-old son about 20 years ago to Legends and Heroes t-shirts to Red Dress, the Pink Ribbon Collection, and now to your company, Skinny's Skincare Wear. And every single one you have given back to others, which... Mm. You know, it's a story that I am so glad I am able to have other people here for so many reasons. You know, you said you have dyslexia. Your son is on the spectrum of autism. You give back to people who don't have everything. You understand. And it's amazing. It's amazing what you've done, the perseverance that you have. And it's not just a survival mode, because we're in a survival mode almost on a daily basis, especially these days. There's something else which has propelled you to continue and continue in a way that is amazing. So what is, if you have one thing to tell other women out there now, and especially those that are losing their jobs or are afraid and they feel alone, what would you tell them?
I would say to go with your gut, absolutely go with your gut. If you feel that you have something that you have always wanted to do and you don't have the courage to do it, just try and ask for help and try, because it always, everything just comes back around in a positive way. And again, I think people are good. Women are good. We're great networkers. And I would say if you have a dream, just do it. Just do it. You have nothing to lose.
Well, that's the thing. You really don't. You have to be practical about some things. But if you have, you know, if you have a dream and you have a passion, I agree with you. You need to take a look. It's never too late.
Never.
You know, yeah. If you don't have anything now, you have nothing to lose by reaching out. And one of the things that you've said, which I totally believe in, is asking for help. You know,
it's so perfect. Because everybody wants to help, Sylvia, really. I mean, you have an amazing show. You're helping people all over the world with what you're doing. And you've done it. You know, I mean, it's an amazing thing what you're doing. Well, and you're communicating this to everybody.
I thank you for that. And as I said, it's never, ever too late. You're never too old. It's never too late. Just, you know, go for it. And you are a total example. One thing I do want to mention, because I don't know if we mentioned it, which is important for people who are on Medicare and Medicaid, is that your company was recently approved as the first hydrating medical grade compression that is reimbursable through Medicare and Medicaid.
Yes.
So that's big stuff. And
thank you.
And people can find you on
myskinnies.com.
And that's myskinnies.com.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Michelle, I thank you so much. You are an inspiration to so many out there who think that, you know, they can't do it. They really shouldn't try. Things are, they can't get any better. Well, you know what? You've proved in so many ways that that is so not true. So
thank you
for being here today.
Thank you so much. I'm so proud of what you're doing, and thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Upper Deck, the national full-service virtual gym that has reinvented the at-home workout experience. Upper Deck has more than 30 strength and cardio classes a week. Named Best Fitness Club in the Gold Coast for 2020, Upper Deck brings the gym to you with live coaching and motivation. Upper Deck's unique classes are interactive. They have two coaches, one leading your workout and one keeping her eyes on you, providing feedback and encouragement in real time. For a free week of unlimited virtual classes with no strings attached, email info@upperdeckfitness.com and let Upper Deck know you're a Sylvia and Me listener. Thank you for joining me today. On our next podcast, I'll be talking to another extraordinary, inspiring woman who has made her mark on the world. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform and, of course, our website, sylviaandme.com. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to keep up with the latest episodes. Review, rate, and take us with you wherever you are. I want to hear from you. If you know of an extraordinary, inspiring woman, please contact me at sylvia@thelifeofprey.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Stay safe. This has been a Life of Prey production.